One of the famous parts of the Haggadah of Pesach is well represented in this week's parsha, and that's the four sons. Not all four of the sons are here, but majority are here. Let's just refresh our memories. Look in source number one. Kineged arba banim dibra Torah, echad chacham ve'echad rasha ve'echad tam ve'echad she'en al dei l'shol. The Torah spoke about four different sons, one wise, one wicked, one simple, and one who does not know how to ask. Chachma hu omer ma idut v'chukim mashpitim mashatziva Hashem lekeinu etchem. Afata emor lo kichor ha-pesach ein maftir nachar pesach afi koman. Over here, the question, ma ha-idut, what are these testimonies and statutes and laws which the Lord your God has commanded us? And then you explain to the laws of Pesach that you do not, after the Korban Pesach, you don't have an afikoman, you don't have dessert. There's a lot to talk about regarding that question and that answer, but that's not in this week's parsha. We'll push it gently aside. Rasha mahu omer, what does the Rasha say? Ma'avodah zot lachem, what is this work for you? Lachem v'lo lo, for you and not for him. And since he separated himself from the community, vikafar bi'ikar, and he's guilty of heresy, afata heke et shinav, you blunt his teeth, ba'omar lo, and say to him, ba'vur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeiti Mitzrayim, because of this, God did this for me, taking me out of Egypt. Li v'lo lo, me and not for him. Ilu hayashem, had he been there, lo hiya nigal, he would not have been redeemed. Now, if you notice, the question over here is from Shemot Perek Yud Bet, Kaf Vav, while the answer is introduced from Shemot Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chet. Tam, Mahu Omer, what did the simple son say? Mazot, which I guess is a less formulated question. V'amarte lav, and you say to him, Bechozek Yad Hotzianu Hashem B'Mitzrayim B'Beit Avadim. With a strong hand, God took us out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. V'sheinu Dei Yelishol, the son who does not know to ask, at pitachlo, you open up for him shenemar, and you say, as it says, v'higadat elevincha b'yomahu, you should tell your children on that day, b'avur zeh aseh Hashem li, because this God did this for me, pitzeti mimitzrayim. So, let's stop there. Look at source number two. It's one of the verses just now quoted. V'higadat elevincha b'yomahu, le'mor b'avur zeh aseh Hashem li, pitzeti mimitzrayim. This verse is actually, again, in our parsha, and this verse is contains the word which generates the word Haggadah. V'higadat elevincha, and you should tell your child. Over here, presumably tell the child that even if they don't ask anything, the story of Pesach needs to be told. Pasuk Yudalit in Perek Yud Gimel, V'yaki yishalcha b'cha mochaleima, when your child asks you, mazot, and then you get the sense that the question of this Ya'inu De'elisho, sorry, the question of the Tam, both the question and the answer are contained within one verse, and it seems very straightforward. The problem that we're going to have is more so the problem of the Rasha, and there are going to be various levels to this problem. And again, part of what we're looking at is trying to understand the Pshat, simple, the Pshat of the words here. Source number three, back in Perek Yud Bet, the beginning of Yud Bet tells about how God tells Moshe, instructs him regarding what we would call Pesach Mitzrayim, that Pesach was going to be kept in Egypt. So in Egypt, that means in Egypt they're going to eat matzah, in Egypt they're going to have a Korban Pesach, in Egypt they're going to put the blood on the doorpost and so on. And then at the end of that those instructions regarding Pesach Mitzrayim, it says, this is not going to be a one-time law. Rather, you're going to guard this law for you and your children forever. When you enter the land which God has promised you, and you're going to keep this avodah. What does the word avodah mean in this context? It means the Korban Pesach. You're going to keep this ritual, if you will. Pasakavav, Vayaki Yomur Lechem Benechem, when your child says to you, Ma Vodazot Lechem, what is this work for you? V'amartem, and you say to him, Zevach Pesach hu l'Hashem, this is the Passover offering, asher pasach al batei b'nei Yisrael, because God passed over, literally, the homes of the Jews, b'mitzrayim in Egypt, b'nagfu et mitzrayim, when God struck the Egyptians, v'tbateinu hitzili, saved our homes. The people then all bowed down at the end of this, in these instructions, which means the question over here, which we are told is the question of the wicked son. There's two things of note. First part of it is, why was this determined to be the question of somebody who is wicked? Secondly, within the context of the Torah, the answer which is offered seems to be a very nice answer, and this is not the answer which is given to this question in our Haggadah. Again, the child asks, in the future, when we're going to come to Israel, we're going to do this offering, why are we doing this? Or why are you doing this? Sorry, why are you doing this? And the answer given is because it's Passover, because God passed over our homes. I mean, within context, there doesn't seem to be anything terrible about either the question or, for that matter, certainly not the answer. But what do? We separate the question from the answer. We say it's the question of a wicked son, and then we give him a different answer. So as I say, reading the Pshat and the Chumash, it does not sound that there's anything particularly ominous about the question, and certainly not about the answer. So now, why do we think this is a wicked son? And again, interconnected to that, then why do we take away this very nice answer? And how does all that work with the Pshat of the Pesukim? Right. The psikta touches on that. It's basically like, you can look at this as the good news or the bad news. Look at source 4. Vaya ki yomer lechem b'neichem, yesh kan loma b'sarat tova. This is good news. Lechem sheyifru v'yirbu dor achar dor. You're going to have lots and lots of children. And it's noting exactly what you notice. B'neichem, you're going to have lots of descendants. And then it says, no, maybe there's bad news here. V'yesh yomer ki b'sarat ra'ahi, sheytita torah lishtakeach mi b'neichem, that your children will forget the Torah. They're going to ask you, what are you doing? I'm not sure it should really be midot or banim, but okay, but midot means there's four different orientations that are brought up. But again, you already see the psikta, there's many other ancient sources that see this as well, that determine this is the wicked son. I mean, the Sforno, again, pshat, before we get to anything else, the Sforno thinks that not only is the question not a bad question, he thinks that the question is a wonderful question. He has this child asking some very sophisticated questions. One, Pesach, or let me phrase this differently. There are two different holidays which are written in the Torah. Even though we use the same language for both, in the Torah there's a holiday called Chag HaMatzot, and there's another holiday called Chag HaPesach. They're not the same day. Chag HaPesach begins on the 14th in the afternoon, and there's a big question when it ends. Does it end at midnight, and therefore you can only eat the korban until the midnight? Does it end at in the morning? The Chag HaMatzot begins at sundown and continues on for 7 days. So he's saying is that the son who's asking, Mavodah Zot Lachem, why does this korban break the normal rules of the korban, and why are we bringing the korban a couple of hours earlier and not bringing it the next morning like we would for all the other? So as far as Pshat goes, and that's what's interesting. He doesn't see any wicked son over here. What does he see? He sees a very fair question being posed in terms of technical appreciation of law, saying why is this being done this way? The second consideration that he had is that the Korban Pesach is essentially a Korban Yachid and not a Korban Tzibur. There's two different types of Korbanot. One is the Korban of an individual, and the other is a Korban of the communal. The Korban Pesach is a Korban Yachid, which is brought by all of the Yachidim in the Tzibur, if that was clear. No, it's not clear. It's not like other holidays when there's one Korban Musaf brought for the entire Klal Yisrael. Over here, the Korban Pesach is brought by each and every single family. Each one has the halacha of being a Korban Yachid and not a Korban Tzibur. to Korban Yachid, which is brought. Now, again, that's a very technical thing, and you can certainly accuse the Sforno of being far too generous in terms of the son asking the question. But my point for showing this is that when we read the Pesukim themselves, are we really reading something so terrible? And by the way, I don't know about you, but the goal on Pesach is to get a kid to ask this question. What is it that you're doing? Of course, you can say the whole thing comes down to what are you doing versus what are we doing. Okay, so I'll allow that to you, but that is not such a simple point, as I'll show you in a moment. And even if it were the point, again, what are you doing versus what are we doing, that's not the answer the Torah gives. Does the Torah understand this is such a terrible question? What answer did the Torah provide? The Torah said that when your kid asks this question, right, back in Source 3, Pasuk Kavav, this is the Korban Pesach, because God passed over our homes. There's nothing negative within the answer over here, certainly. I do want to point out that if you look at Source 6, and that deals with the question of the wise son. Again, what was the answer we gave the wise son? That you shouldn't eat after an afikoman. Look at the question and the answer in the Chumash itself. Ki yishalcha bincha machar leimo, when your child asks you in the future, ma yidut v'chukim l'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem l'keinu etchem, when your children ask you, what are all these things? And I want to point something out. This is in the sixth chapter of Dvarim. If you look in the entire sixth chapter till this point, and for that matter, the fifth chapter as well, it has nothing to do with Pesach. The question here posed by this son has nothing to do with Pesach. The question is actually a much broader question. The question being posed over here is, why be Jewish? Why do we have testimonies and statutes and laws? And what's the answer which is given? Basically, the question is, why are we Jewish? Which I can say is a far more serious question than the wicked son asks. The answer given to the wise son in the Chumash is something that you should find familiar. What's the answer? V'amarta levincha, you should say to him, avadimayin lepar lebitzrayim. Which means, over here, the question has nothing to do with Pesach. The answer does have to do with Pesach. But again, we separate between the question and the answer when it comes to the wise son, although you all know that the avadimayinu already made its way into the Haggadah. By the way, just if you follow me on this, where is the Avadim Ayinu in the Haggadah? Where? Before is correct, but after what? Good. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said something very clever, which is, I don't have to add that, but he did say something very clever. He said, who asked the Manish Tana? The wise son, the wicked son, the Tam, or She'ino De'il L'Shol? So let's work backwards. It can't be the Eino De'il L'Shol because he's asking questions. Right? So now, is it the Tam? No, because the Tam just says Mazot, doesn't ask a formulated question. So now, is it the wise son or is it the wicked son? So out of process of elimination, he came to the conclusion that it is, in fact, the wise son. So what's the answer? So the wise son is the Manish Tana. What's the answer given to the wise son? Avadei Mayin lo paral Mitzrayim. So therefore, in a sense, we already gave this answer to the wise son, right? Because Avadei Mayin follows the Manish Tana. So therefore, we already gave the answer of Avadim Avinu to the wise son. Now, when we have a second time, there's a teaching that there are four sons, now we give him a different answer. So he claims we already gave Avadim Avinu to the wise son. By the way, what he said is very clever, but is not necessarily pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mezgu lo kos sheni, you pour the second cup of wine, v'kan aben shol aviv, and here the son asks, V'im ein dat baben, and if the son doesn't know how to ask, milamdim also, then you teach him, manishtana alay lezeh mikol leilot. Which means, according to the Mishnah, actually the manishtana is the she'enu de elishol. You teach the enu de elishol to ask those questions. So as I said, what Rabbi Soloveitchik said is very clever, but is not necessarily the pshat in the Mishnah. Yes? Is it really? Yeah, etchem. Hashtziva Hashem lokeinu etchem. Now, is that a good point or a bad point that you're raising? You obviously think it's a good point, else you wouldn't have raised it.
No judgment attached.
It's a very good point. Okay. You know how good it is? It's so good that if you look in the Mechilta right now, the next line, which is the earliest source we have of the four sons, look at source 7. Nimset Omer Arba Bonim Heim. Echad Chacham Ve'echad Rosh Ve'echad Tam Ve'echad She'enu Dei L'Shol. Chacham Ahu Omer Ma Idut V'chukim Ha'mashitim Ha'shetziv Ha'shem Malkeinu O'tanu. It's not a variant text. It changed the text. It's a paraphrase. Again, you didn't know that the wise son was quoting a verse from the Torah unless somebody actually puts quotation marks there and puts the verse there. I do not believe in the Mechilta he's quoting. I believe in the Mechilta he's paraphrasing. And the son, but your observation that the wise son also says, Asher tziva shel makenu etchem, that God commanded you, is a little uncomfortable when I want to make the distinction between the wise son and the wicked son. All three early sources, which is the Mechilta the Rashbi, and the Rishalmi. Rishalmi is source number 8. You'll see the same thing. It also quotes Otanu. The Mechilta the Rashbi, which you have on the last page. Did I skip that part? Yes, I skipped that part. Also has the same thing over there. All of them, quote-unquote, misquote the Chumash. But as I said, I don't believe it's a quote. I believe it's a paraphrase. But your observation is right. Because if they're saying the same thing, he's saying etchem, then what's the distinction over here? Again.
To go back to the Mishnah answer before, yeah. The question though is, are you teaching the Tam to ask the questions or the answers to the questions?
Well, you're teaching him, apparently, for whatever reason, the rabbinic tradition is that the learning, and I deliberately use that word, the learning on Pesach night should be in a question and answer format. It should not just be a speech. It should not just be, a monologue, but rather it should be a dialogue. And the dialogue should be in a question and answer way. And again, in terms of those of you who worked as teachers, in terms of a pedagogic tool, it's something which is clearly effective, but that's part of the night. Now, where this comes from, it may go all the way back to the phraseology which is found in the Chumash. Now, again, I want to stress something. The phraseology found by the quote-unquote three sons, which are really two sons, which are in this week's parasha, is more impressive to me than the one found in Dvarim. Because the question found in Dvarim, which is said to be the wise son, is a question that has nothing to do with Pesach. Over here, the questions raised in our parasha, okay, which are part of the Pesach experience, go all the way back again to the earliest possible strata, namely when the Jews are still in Egypt, God says they're going to ask, and that becomes a part of the Pesach experience. Again, the wicked son, quote-unquote wicked son, he asks, what are you, ma'avodozot lochem? And the answer given is a great answer, which means if I didn't know it was a wicked son, I would say, wow, that's exactly, I know I'm repeating myself, that's exactly the question we want him to ask, and that's exactly the answer that I would want to give, but something apparently went wrong over here. What went wrong, Rashi begins to tell us about it in source number 9 and 10. Source number 9 is again Perek Yud Gimel, that's the next Perek. Vayoki yaviyacha Hashem el eretz ha'kna'ani v'achiti v'amori v'achivi v'yivusi asher nishba levotecha l'teit loch eretz zavat chalav u'dvash v'avadata t'avoda zot b'chodesh hazeh. That when God takes you to the land which presently is owned by these nations and the land flowing with milk and honey, you will do this avodah in this particular month. Which means, again, the Passover experience is not a one-time experience. It will be repeated every year this time of year, which, by the way, also tells you then that there's something about the springtime which is connected to the Pesach experience as well, the rebirth, things come back to life, and here you have a whole nation that comes back to life. Very good. Rashi on this pasuk, et avodah hazot, Rashi writes, shel Pesach, right, the Korban Pesach. V'lo kfar ner malamala, but already said previously, back in the previous chapter, for us the previous is source number 3, right? You're going to keep this. Ushmartim avodah zot lachem. You're going to keep this. Sorry. Ushmartim davar hazel lachok lachal v'necha ad olam. You're going to keep this forever. So Rashi over here says, but it's already, again, back in source number 10. ולא כפר נאמה למעלה, והיה כי תבוא על הארץ וכו', ולא מחזר ושנאה. Why did it come and teach the same thing again? בשביל דבר שנתחדש בה. So Rashi says, because there's a new element over here. Biparsha rishona ne'emar. In the first parsha, it said, which means back in the previous chapter, chapter 12, it said, Vaya ki yomru lechem b'neichem avodazot lachem. B'ben Rasha katuv medaber. There it's talking about a wicked son, which means Rashi is telling me, again, that the pshat of that previous pasuk is that it's a wicked son. By the way, this is one of the many Rashis that if you look for it, you don't find it because he doesn't say it on the pasuk. Right? On the pasuk, ma'avodazot lachem, he doesn't say it. But he says it in the next chapter. He says over here, back by ma'avodazot lachem, that's the wicked son speaking. Why? Shotzi et atzmo min haklal. Because he separated himself from the community. Now Rashi also told us what the problem is. What's the problem? What's the emphasis in the question of the wicked son? Ma? Lachem. Ma avodazot lachem. Vikan vigadat alavincha. And over here it says you should tell your children. B'ben she'enu dey l'shol. Here it's talking about the son who doesn't know how to ask. V'hakatuv milamdecha she'tiftach lo ata b'divrei agada hamoshchim et halev. It teaches you that you should reach out to this child and start to teach them agadah, teach them stories, and reach out to entertain and educate this child. To the Einol Dei Lishol. Good. And that, correct. And that's the next part, which is difficult. Correct. I look at the question of the wicked son, the answer given in the Chumash is a very good answer. What's the answer given? Go back in source number one. Rashamahu Omer, Mahavodozot Lachem, Lachem Velo Lebo. Well, if Yishalti Atzmo Min HaKlal, right? You say, Bavor Ze Asali B'Tzeit Mitzrayim. Where did that come from? That's Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chet, correct? So we look at source number two, we see, V'Yiganet Levincha B'Yomahu Lemor Bavor Ze Asashem Li B'Tzeit Mitzrayim. Now again, that was the question, that was the answer given, La'inu Dei L'Shol, and it was a nice answer, She'inu Dei L'Shol. So now, we learn from this, again, I don't know if this sounds convoluted or not, now we see that Rashi's telling us that we're taking the answer to She'inu Dei L'Shol, but we say it back to the Rasha, and we say, no, but you would not have gone out. To which we're left now, again, right. And why did we decide that he understands? Because we decided he's a Rasha. Isn't this very circular? When he asked the question in the first place, Ma avodazot lachem, why don't they just say, he doesn't understand? Why don't they say, he doesn't know what it is? Why don't they say, it's an innocent question? Which means, again, what makes this question so bad that immediately we jump down, oh, that's the wicked son over here. And again, I have to stress, and the Chumash doesn't seem to know that this is, in fact, the wicked son. Right. Right. Just like the wicked, just like the wise son did. Till it got edited out. And again, it got edited out in all the early sources, and then the later sources, they decided, oh, that's a mistake. We have to put back what he said. But that was not the intention. The intention was to make a clear distinction between the wise son and the wicked son, where the wise son is inclusive and the wicked son is not inclusive. And therefore, again, I have to say, he wasn't quoting. Just in case you think, okay, there's a textual variant over here. You know, we have a very good idea of what all the words in the Torah mean. There are some words in the Torah that were subject to different opinions about what the spellings and so on and so forth. This is not one of them, which means there's no variant found in any ancient Torah or codex or so on, instructions how to write. There is no variant on that word that it should say otanu instead of etchem. Just because rabbinic literature quotes it that way doesn't mean that there was a variant there. There's not a variant over there. As I said again, it is not a quote. I think I once saw I once saw this, but then I looked it up and it wasn't there. It happens to me a lot. But I recalled seeing that Rav David Tzvi Hoffman claimed that it was Moshe speaking. Look at source 6. Ki yashalcha bincha macha leimar. When your children ask you in the future, ma ha'idut v'chukim v'mishtim v'shetziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem. So the etchem, where do the quotes go? When your child asks, so he claimed that the question was, ma ha'idut v'chukim v'shetziva Hashem Elokeinu is the quote, and the etchem is what your children are going to ask you. Did that work? As I said, when I looked it up, no, but he says the pshat is not that the kid said the etchem. Right. So, by the way, when I looked it up in Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, it wasn't there. So, but I remember seeing it. So my memory is very creative. Okay. Yeah. When your child asks you, what does he ask? What's in the middle? That's the way that he punctuated it in order to solve this problem and to justify why Chazal would have quoted it differently. He says, no, that is the pshat of the pasuk. The pshat of the pasuk is the child is asking Hashem Elokeinu otanu, but the tchem is Moshe speaking to them. As I said, if you find that convincing, I'm not so bothered by the question because, again, I think that there's just a fundamental misunderstanding. There's no quote going on over here. It's a paraphrase. Okay. But what are we stuck with? We're stuck with two points. One is why we think this kid is a Rasha, why we switch the answer. And let's, again, try to look at some sources. The Siftei Chachamim, in source 11, Siftei Chachamim is a commentary on Rashi. The Im Tomar, and if you're going to ask, Lama Ramaz Lo L'Rasha Tshuva Kan B'Tshuvat Ben Sheinu L'Shol. Why did the wicked son's answer come over here within the context of the son who doesn't know how to ask? So he basically saying is that the She'enu Dei L'Shol is not such a righteous person either. And therefore, God did not do the miracles for the ignorant. By the way, I think that's highly debatable, what he says here. V'im tomer v'dilma kol l'hachi hu da'ati. Everything comes for this purpose. U'manale remez l'tshuvat ha'rasha. V'yeshloma midikhtiv li d'mashma li v'lo lo. Again, v'avur zeh asa Hashem li. So the li, because of this, God did this for me. Li v'lo lo, d'mashma shaloya nigal, because it sounds like he would not have been saved, klal, v'al korchach b'mirin rasha katov medaber, who would not have been saved? It must have been the wicked son. Kasha lama lo haya nigal b'schut ha-tzadik, aval ha-rasha lo haya nigal, ki gam hu haya meit b'shloshet yimei afeila v'dok nira li. He's working very hard, and he's saying that the wicked son in Egypt, who does not participate in the Passover offering, what would have happened to that son? First of all, he says he would have died during the 3 days of darkness anyway. More than that, anybody who didn't do the Korban Pesach, their homes were struck, which means what is it that saved the people? The fact that they did it. Which, of course, you now appreciate that was the answer to the Ben Rasha. Which, I'm just going to have to say it again. There's something very circular about this. Is that if we didn't know it's a Russia, we would not be saying this. In source, the Torah Tamima, in source 12, and again, it's under the Nira, Delo Nichale Lafarish, Dehai Vamartem, Hula Chuvala Shela, Mishim Dek. Kaven de Russia who votes Yatzma Minaklau, Mata speak low at Shuva Hazot. Kielohu Raesh is Evach Pesach of Yodea in Yano, Vakoze, Shoel, Lechavana Rishait, Ulochain Mifaresh of Emmet, Ain Mishiv and Lulashela Tomuma, Ukamashikatav Alta Anxil Kivlato, Rak Omrimlo, Shiluhoya, Shamloya Nigal, Mishum da Rishaim made to begin Yamea Fela, Kinoda, Velashon Vamartim, Zevach Pesach, Shabakan, Inyan Miuchad, shebechlo mitzvah lomar lo shum zeh b'shata pesach u'kfi shid ba'er. Basically, he's saying the answer given to the wicked son in the Torah is a general thing said. It's not to the wicked son. He claims to the wicked son, you don't say anything, and this is just a general thing. So he disconnects the question and the answer. I don't know how comfortable you are with that. But again, look again in source 12. Pasuk Kavav. He holds that those are completely separated from one another. One is a question from a wicked son, you don't answer him, but you say generally to the others, do you find that they're all working too hard? Yes? No? It's I don't want to use such strong language, but it seems preposterous. And what they're doing to the pshat over here is just... is very, very strange. Look at source 13, the Maharal. Also, this the Maharal is a commentary on Rashi. Again, on the pasuk about the answer to the wicked son. Ramaz tshuvato leben Rashi. Im toma ma'inyan ben Rashi l'shein l'deya l'chlo tshuvato shel ben Rashi b'agadah shel ben Eli Yishol. He goes, why are we combining these together? Why is the wicked son being answered over here when we deal with the Shein Yodei L'Shaul? Let's go with underlined. V'od nirek ki kol av ein lo laharot levno ki hu machzik oto ki tzadik v'ohev oto v'ben hazeh she'enu l'shaul im hoya hadavar hazeh she'enu sho'el b'shvil she'enu choshesh l'mitzvot Hashem Yitbarach, ve'enu makpid ala mitzvot, l'kach enu shoel, hu rasha gamur, she'enu choshesh le mitzvot boro. He says, why is the enu de l'shol not asking? So he just now turned the enu de l'shol into a wicked son as well. L'fichach yomar levno, she'im enu shoel, b'shvil she'enu choshesh le mitzvot boro, the reason he's not asking is he doesn't care about the mitzvot. Enu re'oi l'gula, he's not worthy of the gula either. V'zeh, hoya moser levno, she'yeh yir'ei elokim, v'yidakdek b'mitzvot boro, v'yishal aleho. V'kol makom l'manu tshuva Leben Harasha. Basically, what he's saying is that the Shein Yodei L'Shaul is also wicked, and therefore they're both wicked. And therefore, the answer given to the Shein Yodei L'Shaul is appropriate for wicked son because they're both wicked. Do you all feel unsatisfied so far? Let's look at the Malbim, source 14. Malbim is also 19th century. Mavodah Zot. Why do we need to do all of this work, right? Mavodazot, after, why don't we just say God took us out in this way? Why do we need to do the whole thing again? I do want to make an observation about this because you don't know what he's quoting, and I do. Go back. Okay, well, source 13. We'll come back there in a second. Go back to source number 8. Tani Reb Chiya Keneged Arba Bonim Dibur Torah Ben Chacham Ben Rasha Ben Tipesh Ben She'ena De L'Shol Ben Chacham Mahu Omer Ma'adut V'chukim Meshpidim Meshet Tziva Hashem Alkeinu Otanu. Notice a different question, a different answer given. Ben Rasha Mahu Omer, Ma Voda Zot Lachem, Mahatorea Chazem Shatem Matrichon Olenu Bechol Shana Vishana. So if you noticed, the Pasuk Ma Avoda Zot Lachem, the way that we are used to emphasizing the question was Ma Voda Zot Lachem. What is this work that you are doing? Over here, the Yerushalmi puts a different emphasis. What is this work that you're doing? Ma voda hazot lachem. By the way, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this and says that you are not allowed to complain when getting ready for Pesach that it's too much work, because that becomes the question of the Rasha according to the Yerushalmi. What is this work that you're making me do? Read it again. Ben Rasha says, Ma hatorea chazesh et mitrichan aleinu, because shana vishana, why every year do I have to work so hard and do all this work? So again, it's very clear that he's focusing on the word avodah. Okay? I once wrote a very interesting article about this, explaining the difference between the Mechilta and the Rishami, anybody interesting, you'll email me and I will send you the article, but it's not for today. Going back to the Malbim, now let's again read that first line of the Malbim, and you'll tell me if he had the Rishami open in front of him or not. He says, Ma'avodozot, Ma'avodazot, Achav shekolini neimitz voda pesach lezecha yom yitim etzraim, lomat sorecha avodah vahatircha hayitera, sheimisu aleinu b'chagazeh. Why do we have all this work, right? Hello, nuchalach tov lana aluach lizikaron. Shall yet sanim mitzrayim v'day. Just say zechlitz yet mitzrayim. Why do you need more than that? So you hear what I'm saying? It sounds to me that he is really bringing the articulation of the Russia, which is found in the Rishali, which focuses more on the work than it focuses on the lachem. Now he comes back around to our more familiar Russia. Continue in the Malbim. Ulefi shahoti atzma min haklal b'masha katav lochem v'kafar b'ikar b'masha karu avodav yagia basar afata haked shinav shatshuval shelazu hiv amartim zevach pesachu asher pasach hapatei b'nei Yisrael larochi Yisrael hayta az midat hadin mitucha aleihem v'kar kadmu risha Yisrael ameitu b'shloshet amei afela. He claims that the answer given to the Russia in the Chumash, what was the answer given? Why do we have Pesach? What was the answer? Because God passed over our homes when he struck the Egyptians. He's saying, had you not done it then, you would have been killed then. So he's claiming that is the answer to the Russia that you would not have gotten out. Which is, he's claiming the answer we give the Russia is the same thing. Again, this is very clever. Yes, you all appreciate? Because he just now reread the answer given to him. What's the answer given to the Russia? God passed over home and then he struck the Egyptians. Ah, but what if you would not have done it? What if you would have separated yourself? You also would have been killed, and therefore he claims that the answer to the Russia in the Chumash is leave alolo. Yiluyitu sham lo yiti nigal, which means it's basically another way of phrasing the same thing. Yes? The Malbim was clever as well. That's the answer given to the son who does not know how to ask. So that tells you that they are the same, which is, by the way, what we had already seen before. The Russia, by the way, when he uses the word maskil, and I already gave you a hint that he lives in the 19th century. He is the one who articulates the question. By the way, by the time we get to the end, you're not going to have any question. That's what he means. He goes, "Hu amaskil shelahem hashoel, v'zehu amoneh hahamoni she'enu de l'shol u'l'shneim tzevot tshuva achat," which means there are the masses that are not doing things, and then you have the intellectuals. Shema shekatov amarti zevach pesach hu echad ima shekatov bavur ze asah Hashem li. V'she'enu yudei l'shol hu ha-hamoni ha-nilva al ben ha-rasha. That the she'enu yudei l'shol are the masses which are being led by the Russia. Right? So, again, a very interesting comment on the 19th century. Rak she'enu yudei l'shol she'elod dofi ka-rasha ha-mita'e oto. He doesn't know that, again, he's not the intellectual. Tir'eh Atalif toachlo ki achar she'enu toe unei sichlo rak michasron yidia alech lishtadel imo. He says, regarding the masses, you still have an obligation to try, even though he's the same, you still have an obligation. Uvedera chalatza amarti she kol ze b'tshuva el ha'enu yodei l'shol shetomar lo yachol mirosh chodesh tamad lo miyom ahu v'tomar lo mitchila ovdei elokim elohim acherim hayu avoteinu kamo sheze nizkar ba'agada. Ki hamone hashtromea hachidush hazeh mipi ha-reformer. So you see that he just threw the reform in here as well, that you realize he was talking about the Haskalah, he is talking about the reform leadership, he is talking about the reality which is taking place over here. But again, I do want to stress, he said two things. One is he said that the reason why the answer to the Russia is the same as the answer to any other show, because they are the same. He said that the Shein of the other show is being led by the Russia, and therefore the answer should be the same. But he did say one thing which is important, and that is not to give up on the Sheni L'Shol, because still he's being led by somebody else, and there is an ability of reaching out to him and talking. But he doesn't say the same thing regarding the Russia. So as I said, that's also interesting what the Malbim did over here. Source number 15. The Netziv. Va'amartem. Again, where is he saying this? He's saying this on the answer which is given back to the Rasha. Aval hareyanu roim data magid enokein. Regarding the Magid, who's the Magid in the Haggadah, it's not the case. Meaning, what's he pointing at? This is our question. Why is the answer to the Rasha not the answer found in the Chumash? Why did we switch it? So he says, over again, the Rasha says, Mavadot Lachem, Vamartim, Zevech Pesach, Chul Hashem, you explained it's the Passover offering. What does he say? Avaharein Urom, Data Magid, Enokain. We find that in the Passover experience, this is not the answer that we give by the Seder. Shehemid Lashon She'ela Zul Rasha. Because it describes this question over to the wicked son. Vegam Lohemid Shuva. A love clown. We don't give this answer to him at all. Ella hekeit shinav. Rather, we blunt his teeth. Uve emet achar diyuk loshon hamikra yofa diktek hamagid. He goes, but after one reads the text very carefully, you'll come to the realization that he actually gave a very sharp answer. Shoy lo kativ va'amartem aleihem kimo dichtiv lahalan va'amarta a love. Uve sefer devarim va'amarta levincha. Ella muvan ratzona katuv lidehashoel lo yashivu klal. Ella pirush va'amartem bepnei atzmam tshuva al shelazu hi asher posach vel betenu hitzil. Did anybody understand what he just now said? He said, let's line up the three different questions being asked by the three different sons and see what it says regarding the answers. He notices when we go back to source number 3. Let's read the question and the answer. Vayaki yomur lecha b'neichem avodot osem va'amartem, and you say zevach pesach u'lashem. Who are you saying it to? Which means, what's missing here? He's claiming it should have said va'amartem aleihem. It's plural, right? Vayaki yomur lecha b'neichem avodot lachem. The answer should be va'amartem aleihem zevach pesach u'lashem. Look now at source. Well, the Einu Shol in source number 2, Vihigadat Levincha. So that's easy. Look in source number 2, Pasuk Yudalid. Vayoki Yishalcha Bincha Machaleimer Mazot Vamarta Elov Vichozek Yad. So he's claiming that over here, the answer to the wicked son, it didn't say you gave this answer to the wicked son. Did you all catch that or no? Okay. He's claiming that there's a word which is missing in source number 3 in Pasuk Kaf Zayin. He claims a second word in the Pasuk is missing. To make it match the other answers, it should have said, Ve'amartem aleihem, amartem livneichem. It doesn't say that. It says, Ve'amartem, and you rather say, but, and that's very interesting, you say, you make a declaration. Vamartim, so too, which means, according to what the Netziv is claiming, first of all, look, he has an agenda. What's the Netziv's agenda? He wants to justify rabbinic tradition, which separated between the question and the answer of the so-called Ben Rasha. In the Chumash, we noticed that the Rasha asks, Ma avodah zot lachem? And the answer given to him is, Vamartum, Zevach Pesach Lulashem, very nice answer. So he's claiming that is not the answer we're given to the Rasha. He goes, how do I know that? Because it never said you gave it to the Rasha. Do you see that? What? How does he see it when he compares it to source number 2 to Pasuk Yudalid, Perek Yud Gimel Yudalid? Vayoki Yishalcha Bacha Bincha Mochaleimu Mazot Vamarta Elov. You say to him. So over here, we're lacking the to him. By the way, I just as well could have said, Vamarta Elov, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, you only say it to the one who said Mazot, and you don't say it to the one who said Mavad Zazot Lachem. But I have a better answer than any of the answers I gave. The person who dealt with this more than anyone else is the Kli Yakar, but I really don't have the strength to go through the whole thing. But it's source number 16. If you just want to look at it a little bit. He says, "B'hagadah shel Pesach, source 16." Vayok yom leichem neichem avodos olochem. B'hagadah shel Pesach, masik shapasuk zeh medaber ben arusha o mederech lag ma avodazot miloshen ma enosh, which means we somehow have determined that he's saying this with lag. He's saying this with excuse me, mockery, disdain. And I do want to point out that what turns the question into a wicked question is the tone of voice which he uses, and it only could be heard. Again, if you have the chance, you look through the Kli Yakar. I want to go back and give what I think is a better answer, and we're going to stop a little bit early today. Go back to source number 2. Sorry, source number 3. If you look carefully at the question of the so-called wicked son, there's something which is missing in the question. Anybody notice? I'll read the source again. Ushmartem et hadavar hazeh l'chok l'chol v'necha ad olam. V'yo ki tavo el ha'aretz asher yiten Hashem lachem kasher diber, ushmartem et avodah hazot. V'yo ki yomur lechem b'neichem avodah hazot lachem, v'amartem zevech pesach hu l'Hashem. Asher pasach ha'potei b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim b'nakvu b'mitzrayim b'tpoteinu hitzil. Did anyone notice what's missing from the wicked son's question? No. Well, you could say specifics. You could say he's asking on this avodah. Within context, it's very clear. You're going to do this avodah, and he's questioning why you're doing this avodah. It seems to be focusing on the Korban Pesach. Anybody notice what else is missing in the question? And I believe what I'm saying now is the key to the entire thing, and this is why Rashi thought this is pshat, even though he doesn't say it, and even though all the commentators in Rashi don't say it. Build up the suspense a little more. No, none of you... No, don't feel stupid. No one ever said it. No one ever said it. I could not find anybody saying this. There's something missing in the question. That was a hint, by the way. Okay, made you feel worse now. What's missing is the question. There's no question. Yeah? What's the introduction to it? Ki Yomru. What does Ki Yomru mean? V'haya Ki Yomru Aleichem Benechem. What does that mean? 1 second. You all notice there's no question there? V'haya Ki Yomru Aleichem Benechem. When your children say to you, didn't say this. By the way, let's compare. Let's do the same thing that Tziv did. Let's compare that to the question of, let's say, the Tam. Ki shalcha. He asks the question. What about the? Look at the wise son in source 6. Ki shalcha bincha machar leimar. When he asks you, the wise son is asking a question. The simple son is asking a question. How do I know that? Again, in source number 6, in Sefer Devarim, it says, Ki yishalcha bincha machar leimor. What do those words mean? Yes. When your son asks a question. What does it say when it refers to the simple son? In source 2, Pasuk Yudalid, Voyo ki yishalcha bincha machar leimor mazot. When the simple son asks you, what's this? Now, after reading those two, compare it to the so-called wicked son. What does he ask? Answer? He doesn't ask anything. Rather, what does he do? He gives a speech. Correct? And they give a speech. Which means everybody's always been focused on that verse, on the second half of it. That's not what makes the statement so difficult. What makes it difficult is he's not asking a question. Do you all understand why I'm saying this?
Yeah, because there are questions that people ask that you know that they're not asking. You're making
Which means I can answer questions, I can't answer statements. Right? If somebody comes over and gives me a speech, gives me a statement, they're not asking questions. Somebody gives you a speech, doesn't want an answer. Over here, when it says, Ki yomur leichem b'neichem, I have to, again, be sensitive to it. Can you answer when somebody gave you a speech? And we all know, listen, as a teacher, as parents, we all know, there are times that people ask us questions, there are times that people give you a speech. Which one is this one? This is a speech. You give. The speech is Mavados Alachem, but he doesn't want an answer. How do I know he doesn't want an answer? He's not asking. I think that's what got Rashi to say. Again, what really troubled me with this whole topic when I really started, what troubled me? Why would Rashi take such a nice verse and say this is the wicked son? The fact that Chazal do it, that doesn't bother me. Chazal have lots of drashot, but Rashi theoretically is trying to tell us Pshat. Is Rashi influenced by drashot? Yes. Could Rashi then twist the pshat to fit the drashot? Yes. But still, I had to find some kind of justification within the words to say this is a wicked son asking it. And what led me to the conclusion that indeed it is a wicked son? The fact that he's not asking a question. And now, therefore, what is your answer to the wicked son over here? You give another speech. How do I know you're giving a speech? V'amartem. He gives a speech. And you give a speech saying, Zevach Pesach Chilul Hashem. So therefore, you're not going to stand there. Somebody gave a speech and said, this is what I believe. Fine, that's what you believe. And I give a speech and this is what I believe. Do I expect to convince him? Absolutely not. But I'm not going to stand there silently. I'm giving a speech as well. And I think that's how Rashi saw the pshat over here. Not because Hotzi Atzmo from Min HaKlal. By the way, you could say that the weakness of what I'm saying is that Rashi says it's because Hotzi Atzmo Min HaKlal. Nachon. That's the drasha that Chazal used. But what made Chazal say that there's a wicked son here? It's not just the content, Hotzi Atzmo Min HaKlal, because if I wanted to, I could have also said the wise son, Hotzi Atzmo Min HaKlal. Now I'm going to ask you again. What's the difference in the wise son and the wicked son? He's asking a question. The wicked son is not asking a question. The wicked son is giving a speech. The wise son is asking a question. The student or the child who asks a question, you have the chance of engaging them, of answering them. The one who's getting in a debate with you and giving you a speech, you have a very hard time giving them an answer because they're not listening.
Formulates them all as Mahu Omer.
Right.
Not
right. Yeah. Right, right. I noticed that as well. Mm-hmm. I noticed that as well, that it takes away the distinction between them. But nonetheless, when I read the Chumash, I find that that's really the difference between the different sons. That the wicked son never asked a question, and therefore the answer to him is not an answer. The answer is only hinted at as far as Chazal is concerned later on, but where's Esher Sam Li? And then you come back and say, oh yeah, by the way, you're separating yourself from this Avodah, your speech that you gave, you don't want to be a part of this. Well, if you're separating yourself from Bavor Zesher Sam Li, leave a low low. And therefore that becomes the appropriate answer. I'm saying, I think that the key to this entire topic is not the Lachem. The key is the absence of, that's why I kept asking you, what is missing in his question? And you couldn't answer me. What was missing in the question? The question is missing from the question. There's no question over here. There's no question. There's a speech. Now I understand why Chazal would have called him wicked. Okay, we're going to stop. As I told you, I snuck out of house today. My wife doesn't know I'm here. Thank you. Me.